I'm going to share something of what I heard from my time in Lee Abbey. And that was back in early February. I went away for a week. And this particular talk, amongst a number of them, seemed to me to be really helpful to me. So I hope it's also helpful to you. It also seems to fit absolutely in with the sermons we've had over the last few weeks. The sermon on James, and the one before that too, that actually what matters is what we do, not what we say. But fitting in today and last week to this call to about live radically, radical behaviour. And the seminar next week, I really strongly encourage you to come to that as well. I'm sorry, two Sunday evenings in a row, but it will be, I think, tremendous. And it's dealing with these questions about self-control and cravings, things that we find so difficult. I was having some doubts about giving someone else's talk tonight until Friday when Rosie brought me a book. She said, I know you're talking about demolishing strongholds, and at a church I was at previously, this was what they talked about, and here it is, the book they gave us this training on. And it's exactly the same talk. So it obviously is meant for at least someone here tonight. Now, the other thing I want to say is that because it spoke to me so much when I was at Lee Abbey, that is because it's something I'm working on at the moment. So what you're not going to get is expert Reveille telling you how it should be done. And also, it does mean as well, I think, that when I share this, I'm sharing from something I'm going through. There may be others who, as I speak, or after I've spoken, might have something else to say and share on this as well. So let's be open to see if God's prompting you to say something. And of course, a critical thing to remember was what Chris said this morning. We're all sinners, and we all struggle with various areas of life that pull us down. Now, strongholds, demolishing strongholds. It sounds a very sort of active message. What is a stronghold? Well, there's all sorts of strongholds. I've heard Christian teaching on all sorts of different levels on this. So I'm just going to define the bit we're looking at tonight. It might be that over other Illuminates, we look at a much wider number of these areas as well. Sometimes people talk about strongholds when they mean areas of the world, geographic areas, that are resistant to the gospel. They sometimes talk about North Korea, because it's as though that is a stronghold of Satan because it's so hard for the church there. That's not what I'm going to talk about tonight, though it's a really interesting area to look at. And some of you might have read about things like territorial spirits, and that's another area of great interest. That's not the strongholds I can talk about tonight, just because time doesn't permit. Sometimes, as well, we use this when we're talking about a moral, ethical, or behavioral darkness, which is damaging people. People talk about some people being under the stronghold of drugs. And there we're thinking about a subculture, if you like, which grips people. Or indeed, even the knife crime and gang culture stuff that we've heard so much about recently. And that also is something which is really important to think about, but isn't something which I'm going to talk about tonight. So what I'm going to talk about tonight, and I hope this is okay to define it this way, is a personal besetting sin or area of doubt or failure that always seems to be with us. Okay, a personal area of failure that always seems to be with us. Those who were here this morning that absolutely loved the video that Andy found with the just a little, okay? Just a little. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. Those areas that for us we try to say are just a little, but actually affect the whole way we live and so on. I'm going to read you some verses of the Bible now, in case you think it's me talking all the time. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm not sure you'll better see it in the dark anyway, so you'll have to trust I read it right. So here we go. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. If anyone, my notes are written out in a lot more detail than usual because I've got lots of quotes to read to you. So if anyone does want them, I'm happy to send them to you tomorrow or whatever. But otherwise, I'll just read the bits as I go through. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So demolishing strongholds is something that Paul wrote about. And clearly, he had a military meaning in mind. Because what he's referring to is that sense that most of us who are Christians know, and perhaps even if we're not Christians, we know it as well, of that inner tension, battle going on within us, civil war in ourselves, stuff that we don't want to do that drags us down, stuff that we know that we should do that we don't do. And so this idea of strongholds and waging war is absolutely in the Bible when it's talking about our inner civil war going on. Romans 7:22 says this, "I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am." Or 1 Peter 2, "Your sinful desires which wage war against your soul." And as we've read here, "Though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world." So strongholds, I still haven't quite defined it for us yet. But if you think about castles, you've seen castles, if you go to places like the border of Wales or whatever, and you see loads and loads of castles, quite often small ones, dotted along the border. And they were there because the kings of England wanted to have strongholds that the Welsh couldn't get by or through. You can work out who the goodies and the baddies are in this story, so I'll let you kind of work that one through. But those places were there. What they had as well, if you think about it, they had an amazing controlling effect over not just the small amount of territory where the stronghold is built, but everything in between as well. By building those, it's a statement of possession of that territory, and therefore it actually has an effect on everyone that sees it, knows that that stronghold is there. They overshadow and affect not just where they are, but the land in between and around as well. If you think about how these strongholds come about, militarily, they come about first by getting a foothold. And this is interesting, that very often the things that trip us up in our ordinary life don't start instantly as being a major problem. They start little, just like we heard on the video this morning. Think about the D-Day landings. The D-Day landings were all about getting a foothold in Normandy. That became then a stronghold from which eventually the Allies went out across the continent. And that, unfortunately, is the way that Satan also works with us. He tempts us in a little by little way, and we give a bit and we give a bit, and we don't realize what's going on. It's not quite in the Bible, but I think it fits with the Bible feeling, this quote. "Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny." And that's that little by little that creeps up on us. So these strongholds then in our lives, how do they come about in our lives? Well, yes, of course, we are all selfish, sinful. We know all that as well. But let's get to a bit more detail about it and think about what happens in our lives. And one of the things that really struck me from Lee Abbey was this first. There were two things, and this was the first one. Strongholds happen whenever there is a deficit of either truth or love in our lives, or both. Strongholds happen when there is a deficit of truth or love, or both, in our lives. Think about this. It said in 2 Corinthians, every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. A pretension against knowledge, that's a lie, okay? The lies that we get told or we tell ourselves. And a deficit of truth means that we start to believe a lie about ourselves, about someone else, about God, about something we're missing out on. That lie gets into our minds, and I'm missing that, and therefore I'll do this. Someone else has got something better than I have, and so maybe I'll just allow myself to do that. That's the deficit of truth. And the deficit of love, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. That deficit of love that means we put ourselves first and we ignore the needs of others. So what are these lies then that get into our heads that throw us and start to build from a foothold to a stronghold? Well, we got that great one on the video, just a little, just a little. Here's another one. It doesn't really matter. I can still remember to this day, someone, Lucy, we know Garth Ratcliffe, talking about, does anyone know Garth Ratcliffe? You know Garth Ratcliffe too. And he talked about a peccadillo. And a peccadillo, for you guys, is not a small anteater thing from South America. But it's the little sins that we don't notice that creep into our lives. This one doesn't matter. It's a lie we tell ourselves. Everyone else does it. I'm missing out. I'm frightened. I'm no good. It can't do any harm. They deserve it. I deserve it. I deserve it. I can't help myself. God is punishing me. Things will be better if I do this. I need something to help me manage. These are all lies that start off as a foothold and become a stronghold. Fundamentally, it seems to me they come down to this, that when we say those and listen to that voice, we are not trusting God that he will do and be the best for us. I think I've shared before one occasion when I was really angry with God and I was traveling on a train and I read this verse. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does God withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Doesn't mean we're perfect, but we're following him. No good thing does he withhold. But if we lose sight of that, then we start to listen to those other lies. And those strongholds, they become shame, anger, bitterness, jealousy, fear, lust, greed, sloth. They get into our habits, whether it's sexual or abuse addiction or attitudes to other people and bitterness or pride or greed. And these things are the things that Jesus died to bring us freedom from. And he wants us to experience and take hold of his unconditional love, his amazing grace, his total goodness. And the second thing that I picked up at Lee Abbey was something which at first I groaned inwardly when he said, I've got five words beginning with R, which will tell you how to become free. But actually, I found those five words in your book, and I found actually this was so practical for me that I want to share it with you as well. So those strongholds, those habits, those things that trip us up, that are always part of the civil war going in us, how might we get free from them? By the power of God. And the first word, beginning with R, was to recognize them. Oh, this is so obvious, okay? This is so obvious to recognize them. And he had a definition. Here, this spoke to me, and I absolutely got it. He said, you have got a stronghold in your life if either it's an area of your life where you're lacking peace or joy, or it's an area of your life where you're filling your pain with false medication or addictive behavior. I'll say that one again. There's a stronghold in your life that needs to be broken and God wants to free you from. If there's an area where you lack peace or joy, or there's an area where you're filling your pain with false medication or addictive behavior. You can see the direct link to next week. But also, and he said this, and I believe it's true, every one of us has got areas like this. Every one of us is part of the human condition that we have. And I'm going to pray that as I talk for the last couple of minutes before I hand back to Rosie, that you might pray if there's one area that God is speaking to you about tonight and saying, that is a stronghold that I want to demolish in your life. It might be one, just one area where you lack peace or joy, or where you're filling your pain with false medication or addictive behavior. Recognize it. Describe it with God. Don't just be vague about it, but say to God, God, I know you're speaking to me about this particular issue. And then the next R, which is one that won't surprise you either, they're all very obvious, is repent. But again, it was lovely. He quoted Acts 3:19. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. And he taught, most of us will know the word repent means to turn round. But the critical thing was, is you turn away from the sin, the stronghold, you turn to God, and he brings times of refreshing. Repentance isn't necessarily about sackcloth and ashes. I know it was in the Old Testament, but as we turn, as we agree with God about this stronghold that we want to be freed from, so actually he sends times of refreshing. One of the things that Mark said on this thing was, change your mind about things. Don't gaze at your sin, but gaze at God who loves you and calls you to freedom. Don't gaze at your sin, but gaze at God who loves you and calls you to freedom. The third R, receive. Accept what Jesus has achieved through the cross. Accept his gift of grace. And why does this trip us up? This is so obvious. And the answer is because one of our biggest problems, a regular stronghold for us, is that of pride. And we don't want to have the humility just to receive God's gift of grace. But if we receive, there is that amazing promise that you know from 1 John. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and forgives us all our sins and cleanses us, purifies us from all unrighteousness. And also from Jeremiah and in Hebrews 2. The wonderful fact is that when God forgives us, he remembers our sins no more. Doesn't mean that he's forgotten them, and then actually we might jog his memory when we do it again, so he remembers it. He stops remembering. It's a conscious act. God forgives us that much. Recognize, repent, receive. The next one's rebuke. Rebuke. The devil is always trying to trip us up. In this civil war, he is fighting. God, the Holy Spirit, lives in us, but the devil is still trying to get in there. That's the basis, if you like, of what spiritual warfare is all about. James says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And there are times when actually when that temptation comes along, you need to confront it and say, devil, go away. In Jesus' name, that might be the thing you have to say. Take authority over those lies. The lie that says it won't matter, or the lie that says I'm so bad, God can't love me. Take it straight back to the scriptures. Jesus said, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. We're not trying that tonight, by the way. And to overcome all the power of the enemy, nothing will harm you. And take authority over the lovelessness and the insecurity that so often causes us fear and causes us to fall back into old habits. John 10 says, Jesus said, I give to us eternal life and we will never perish. No one will snatch us out of his hand. Jesus holds us in his hand and we are secure and we do not need to be afraid or fearful. Do not listen to the lies about lovelessness. Do not listen to the lies of the evil one, but rebuke him. And the last one, replace, replace. Replace all the lies with God's opposite truth. If you stop doing something, all you'll do is think about what you stopped doing. But if you stop doing something and you turn to face God, and don't leave a vacuum there and ask his Holy Spirit to fill you, then that can change and can transform you. And we need our minds, our imaginations, our emotions, and our wills to be transformed. Romans says the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. He commands us to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is a work that God does in us. Our imaginations, where we spend our thinking time. Rejoice in the Lord always, says Philippians. I will say it again, rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, and here's the imagination bit, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What simple advice that we often rattle off in church. But if we put our mind to things which are good, then we are letting God change and transform our minds. When it comes to our emotions, they're to be a gauge, not a guide. Psalm 139 said, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Seek God's insight into your strongholds, God's insight into the way you're living. Get his understanding and submit your emotions to him. Your anxious thoughts, your offensive ways, bring them to him. And finally, as I finish, our will. That the passage in 2 Corinthians said this, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And the way to seek freedom is to come to his divine power to demolish those strongholds. So I don't know if that said anything to you. It really spoke to me, and it's really been helpful to me. I'm still working it through. But maybe the Lord just wants you to start with that first point where you recognize that thing in your life that needs attention. But then repent, receive, rebuke, replace. Because though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every lie that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Amen.